Well, good morning, my fellow Americans. Good Monday morning here in the USA. This is the Officer Jack McLam program coming to you from the high Rocky Mountains of Idaho County, Idaho, USA. Good to be back with you. It certainly is. Starting a new week here of war against those that hate God and hate freedom for everybody but themselves here in America. And it's a war, folks. It's a war. They're coming after us and destroying our freedoms and rights and taking away our freedoms by putting us in prison if we resist. And we're pleased this morning again to have back on with us the father of one of our great American patriots who's in prison today, David Hingston. And we're going to have him on in just a couple minutes, but I understand that activist patriot, grand patriot, Sherman Skolnick died, and I've heard about this guy. You know, I've never met him in all the 25 years I've been involved in speaking around the nation and even in some parts of the world about freedom and our constitutional system in America. As to our police and soldiers, and never met Sherman Skolnick, but I do know of much of his good work over the years and have read many of his documents that he put out. He was a good researcher, and CBS has a little ditty in it, this controlled media, CBS, and I'm surprised. But on May 22, 2006, this was what they had to say about him. Community activist and cable television host Sherman Skolnick has died at the age of 73. Mr. Skolnick died at his home. Some dismissed Mr. Skolnick as a conspiracy theorist, but some have credited him with exposing a bribery scandal within the Illinois court system in the late 60s and early 70s, in a corruption scandal that led to the indictment of former Governor Otto Kerner. Mr. Skolnick founded the group, the Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, in 1963. He was also the host of a cable television program, Broadside. And I'm sorry, I didn't know Sherman very well, but I do know he was a good American and hard worker to try to bring us back under God and our constitutional system. And so he will be missed. With that said, let's get back to our dear brother, Roland Hingston. He's the father of David Roland Hingston, who is quite an American, quite an American hero to me, anyway, because I've known David for, I would guess, I'm just trying to think, probably 15 years. And I've watched this young man as he's developed his great abilities that God gave him to create wealth and build a company called Water Oz, which has given the world some of the best nutrition that we can get and best disease fighters and virus fighters like silver water and different things, gold water and you name it. He's perfected a system where the particles of gold and silver and others of these good minerals that our bodies need, he perfected a system where he could reduce it down in size to a point where it could actually be absorbed very quickly by our system, and you don't wee-wee it all out. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you go to the drug store, and you buy these vitamins, and you take them, many times the particles are so big that you get some of it in your system, but most of it, it's proclaimed for many years, gives you the most expensive wee-wee in the world because most of it comes right out of your system. Well, David is a brilliant American, but also he loves God. He loves this country. He joined the Navy. He actually went out and signed up and joined the Navy and went into the Vietnam War because he loves his country. And he's just a great man, and he sits in prison today. In a prison, I mean, here's a man that, as long as I've known him to be a true peacemaker except he liked to go after corrupt, treasonous, tyrannical leaders in our government, both local, state, and federal. And he was always out there vocally exposing these people, and would be today if he wasn't sitting in maximum security prison in Florence, Colorado right now. And before we bring up Roland, I just want to say to you folks that here at our two police and military associations, we go over reports, government records, also the things that people do investigations and send into us here, into those fellow Americans that have stood up and spoke out against the tyranny coming across our land today. And they've gone to prison. They've been railroaded into prison. And we've studied this so much here at our two police and military associations that we're putting out a publication within this next week, laying out the methods in which a government agent judge and the government agent prosecutor secretly, covertly manipulate psychologically the minds of the jurors to railroad a person into prison. And we've got about 12 ways in which we've listed in this Aid and Abet Police Military newsletter on constitutional issues that we're putting out in the next week here, maybe a week and a half or so. We hope to get it to the press this week, and then next week it'll probably be ready to be mailed out. But it is a tragedy, a tremendous tragedy, that the three ways that our founding father gave us for the sovereign American people to keep control of their government, if their government ever got out of the control of the hands of the sovereign American people, which it's not supposed to, they gave us three ways in which to keep control of tyranny building up in government. One was the voting box. Yes, voting. And you know how the enemies of God and liberty that control our country today are trying to destroy the voting box. We won't go into that today, but they're trying to now go into electronic voting where they can change your vote in just an instant, and you'll vote for candidate A, and next thing you know, when you walk away, you voted for candidate B with this new computer voting system. And then the second way they gave us was the jury box, the voting box first, and then the jury box second. And the jury box was to keep a tyrannical government from being able to railroad people into prison like they had in England under the Star Chamber system. And we've pretty much lost that today. The government agent judge and the government agent prosecutor secretly, covertly have about 10 to 12 methods that they use, tactics they use on an unsuspecting jury to psychologically prepare the jury to come out with the vote that the government agent, judge, and prosecutor want them to come out with. And the jury doesn't know this. Well, this is what was done in the David Roland Hinkson case, folks. He was literally railroaded into prison by just a few ways real quick, the judge and the prosecutor withholding evidence, withholding critical witnesses, manufacturing witnesses by paying people or giving them special privileges or benefits from coming in and lying against David Hinkson, and on and on and on. And so our brother sits in prison today. He's been there a few years now, and he's done nothing wrong. And so we had Roland, his father, on last week, as some of you will remember, and we didn't get finished. So I asked Roland if he'd come back today and just tell us briefly what happened to David today, and then get into the details that we were not able to finish up on Friday. And so praise the Lord, we're going to get David Hinkson out, because we're going to raise holy heck. We're just going to raise our voices, and we're going to work together to come together to help David get out of prison. Now, we want to thank Terry for writing in here to Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter, And here's what Terry says. He says, hello, Mr. McLam. Would like to find out how to get hold of Roland Hingston, because maybe I can send him some money to help get David out of the gulag. Best regards, Terry. So, Terry, if you're listening in, get your pencils and papers, folks, because we're going to give out that contact information again of how to get a hold of Roland and also how to write to our brother there in prison. Maximum security prison, folks, with all the most horrible guys on the face of the earth, the most dangerous people on the face of the earth. They put this very peaceful man in prison to punish him there and put him in the most vile place on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, Roland is on the line with us right now, and he can back me up when I tell you that the government has been trying to get David killed. I believe that they're doing that because of some of the activities they've done. When he was first arrested, they put him in the Moscow prison in Idaho, and all of a sudden a sign appeared on his cell door that said killer. The guards and inmates could see that sign. And then when he was moved to the Ada County Jail in Idaho, the government passed out rumors that he was a child molester. And I don't know if everybody out there knows this, probably not, but me as a cop, I know that if you go into prison as a child molester, you can get killed, because some of these people don't like child molesters. And so they put him in a maximum security prison in Colorado, but that prison has the worst murder rate of any prison in the nation. In the 6 years it's been open, they've had 8 murders inside that maximum security prison. So I don't have any doubt that they would love to see David, our brother, killed before we can get him out on appeal, which we definitely believe we will. So, folks, first of all, I want to continue to tell you to be praying for David Hingston there in the Colorado Florence Maximum Security Prison. And with that said, let's go to our brother now, Roland. Roland, thank you for coming back today and talking about what we can do to help get David out of prison.
Well, Jack, let me start by saying that your description of the activities that surrounded David at the time and what has happened to him is very accurate. This is precisely what happened. I, of course, was there witnessing everything pretty much as it went along. And I wrote an article called Hypocrisy and Dishonor of the Government of the United States of America. And I thought, you know, I picked a few paragraphs out of this article, and I thought maybe that would help put the people who have no knowledge of what happened, put that in perspective. And so if you don't mind, I'll just start that way.
Good. Let's do that. Yes, we want to. There's a lot of new people today that were not with us, I'm sure, on Friday, so that would be very fine.
Okay. Well, at 5 a.m. on November 23rd, 2002, with machine guns and battering rams, 25 FBI agents armed with machine guns in their dark green, almost black sweat gear, suits and helmet, face shields and body armor, descended upon David, my son, as if he were a vicious terrorist. In the raid, 10 doors were broken down, and David was dragged out of his warm bed to be carted off in chains miles away to a federal magistrate. However, the magistrate, upon hearing the facts, immediately released David on his own recognizance. 50 government workers had raided his property. Included in their group was a hostage negotiator with a bullhorn. All of these agents were drawn in from multi-state regions and were sent to awaken a sleeping man from his dreams. That thrust him into a nightmare. There was no one else at his home or factory, and no one within miles of the place who could have resisted them. It was a silly and a pathetic scene, all of this firepower to drag one man from his bed. David went to town daily and was known to the local sheriff as someone that was community-minded, who did not make trouble, and there was nothing illegal going on at his factory. It was plainly an abuse of raw power by vindictive government agents. These agents were attempting to get even for being sued by David. It was a horrible waste of resources and could have resulted in the death of my son if one of these agents had a hair trigger. The government could not justify its asinine behavior until it continued to make defamatory claims, unless it continued to make defamatory claims about David being demonized in the press. To justify their actions, these government agents portrayed to the public via the media a dangerous militant terrorist hiding out in the backwoods of north central Idaho. On January 27, 2005, my son was acquitted of 5 out of 11 of the charges. The jurors were deadlocked on 3 counts, and he was convicted on 3 counts of solicitation based on the perjured testimony and the forged government documents of one man. The government's key witness for the 3 solicitation counts, wherein David was convicted, presented for the first time during his testimony a forged Defense Department DD Form 214. This forged document, the accuser, Elvin Joseph Swisher of Cottonwood, Idaho, claimed was certified by the Commandant's Office of the United States Marine Corps. He was wearing a Purple Heart and declared himself to be a heavily decorated veteran of a post-Korean War cleanup operation. The forged document was intended to provide proof of his entitlement to these medals. The document was enough to tip the credibility scale in favor so that the jurors believed his story that my son had pleaded with him to murder federal officials in question. After a verdict was rendered and the trial was over, we learned from about the forgery from the representative of the Marine Corps, who verified that the copy presented to the court was not an authentic document, rather it was a forgery. At the time, because the forgery was fairly sophisticated, the judge accepted the forged document, saying it appeared to be authentic. The judge failed to adequately investigate the fraud on the court created by the forgery and then later instructed the jury to disregard it. The defense attorneys were prohibited from performing an effective cross-examination of the witness who offered the forged document. The evidence showed that the government unequivocally knew of the forged document prior to the witness's testimony, yet in discovery, the judge refused to make the normal disclosures of the document's existence. Stop here after one more paragraph and we can talk about it.
Okay.
When the assistant United States attorney handling the case was asked in open court why he failed to disclose the document before the witness testified, even though he had been ordered to produce all Jenks material, which is exculpatory material, or that would show David was innocent, a week before the trial, the AUSA, means the assistant U.S. attorney, Stephen Sullivan, stated on the record, he says, "Why should I?" quote unquote, showing his contempt for the court, the defendant, and the law. It was the perfect statement to prove defiance of the government's attorneys, but it didn't stir the judge. Okay, there's more, I can continue on with part of this, but let me mention so that people who don't understand exactly what happened. Of the 11 charges they brought against David, the government had gotten inmates and bribed them to testify against David and admitted it in court. One of them got up and he refuted the document that he had said earlier when he was on the stand, and he says that this did not happen. He says that Mary Martin and William Long and Stephen Sullivan, the prosecutor out of Washington D.C., came and bribed him, and then one of the people that they put in was bribed, and we've learned a lot more about all this later. But regardless, they tried to set him up, and they brought in numerous people to testify against David, most of which were people who had either stolen from David, tried to set up duplicate companies based on David's discoveries and his inventions, and on. And these are the people who testified against David. And the jurors didn't buy it. Bottom line is that the jurors, after they had been carefully manipulated and so on by the judge, and regardless of that, they decided that they would not convict on 5 of the 11 charges. And then in order to make sure that David did get convicted of something, Sullivan agreed to drop 3 of those charges, leaving 3 charges left, and they were all based on this Elvin Joseph Swisher's phony testimony. And I hope that we can get into a little bit about this Swisher guy.
Yes,
so that
let's
you know
do
what
that, I, brother. Let me say, though, that don't leave out this Mariana gal who lied and said that her 2 brothers were approached by David to become hitmen for him. And then when the government finally did interview the 2 brothers down in Mexico, they both said that their sister was a liar or something. Tell that story, too, because that shows the credibility that the government was just out to pay anybody that would get up and lie against David.
Okay, this Mariana Raft was not a babysitter, more like a housekeeper, babysitter type thing. She stole $6,600 from David, and David found out about it, and he fired her in front of the employees at the factory, and she was embittered, and she went to the and later, of course, we found out that she had entered his PIN number on the ATM, and a photograph was taken. So there was a total evidence and the whole thing. He had taken her to Mexico along with another fellow named Lonnie Birmingham, who later involved the company in a big lawsuit, and also that is a crime that he had committed and on the premises supposedly committed, because it was a sexual harassment type of thing, of which we are still fighting.
I see.
Now. And but since it was on the premises, well, then we got stuck in this lawsuit.
Yeah, I got you.
And so Mariana Raft then went to the feds, and or they came to her and wanted to have her testify that David, when she went to Mexico, went there to hire her brothers to murder the former judge and the IRS agent Stephen Hines and Nancy Cook, who was ASUA representative in Idaho. And although this woman had at an earlier date stated that if David would drop the $50 million lawsuit against the government and paid the fine of $5,000 for their expenses at that point, they would drop the whole thing. But instead, David says no. As a matter of principle, he was not going to do it. They could do this to other people. And so he refused. And then they orchestrated getting these people that they could together to see if they couldn't bring David down. And they tried all kinds of shenanigans, but the one that is most egregious here was the Mariana Raft deal, because after she was used to make an accusation and for charges to be brought, even though the grand juries, one after another, the grand juries that dismissed it, that there was no probable cause, they finally got one grand jury that said that there was probable cause. And this Nancy Cook, from what David tells me, forged the document. It's immaterial now because it's a moot question at this point. However, the situation with Mariana Raft, she having stolen money and so on, and they knew it. David went down to the sheriff's office, and instead of supporting David, they arrested David. And the person, one of the officers, deputies that was in charge working with the FBI agent, had been shacking up with this Mariana Raft, and everybody in the community knew about it. And
who was that sleeping with her?
His name is Mueller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Captain Mueller.
That's right.
I'll be doggone. Isn't that something?
And David believed that the whole area was corrupt with drug dealers and so on, and that was one of the reasons
that
they wanted to shut him up.
We've heard that for years up here, too, brother, that Mueller and others, we've heard this now, that they are in charge of running the drugs into this county. Now, we don't know if it's true, but we've even had deputies who have retired out of their state that Mueller has been involved in bringing drugs into this county. Now, we don't have the evidence, so I want to put that out on the air. But, man, we've had probably 20 people tell us that Mueller is involved. Captain Mueller, I think he's a captain now. He was Lieutenant Mueller with the Idaho County Sheriff's Department, is the big kahuna on bringing the drugs into the county.
Yeah.
Can't prove it, but when you hear it from 20 people from different backgrounds and over the years, you begin to wonder if there isn't some veracity to it.
Well, yes, and we want to be careful to not do what these people have done to David.
Yes.
And one of the things, of course, that they did was spread their lies all over the county, or not only the county, it was picked up by AP, and everybody heard about this man charged with 43 counts of various crimes, and then charging him with 11 for attempted murder, which David was probably the most least violent.
Nonviolent, yes.
Yeah, a person that most people had ever met in their lifetime.
I know. David was excellent at taking people to court, government agents and everybody to court, and winning his court battles, and he never showed me that he was violent in any way over the 15 years I've known that man.
Yes. And now, as far as Mariana Raft was concerned, what she did is she went out after she had the security blanket of the federal government around her. She went out and she burglarized the post office. And then she burglarized two drug stores and was caught in her home with the opening people's envelopes and forging documents and writing phony checks. She was picked up I believe it was in Lewiston, in the sheriff's department there, and arrested. And a couple of days later, she was out on the street again. And they said they didn't have sufficient evidence to hold her.
Right.
Even though they had and they found also drugs. And we think she was involved with drugs. So anyway, they put her back in the case as the chief witness against David. And then, based on her phony statement about David going to Mexico to kill or to hire two hitmen, David had gone up there to buy some property, and she was the translator. And these two people, Birmingham and Mariana Raft, went with him.
We're at the bottom of the hour here, brother. Hang on to that. Okay.
All right.
Folks, what we're proving here is the government is paying people and giving them benefits to lie and to tell horrendous stories about David to railroad him into prison. That's what we're establishing here. We'll be back after these important messages with more of the Officer Jack McLam program. Stay tuned. Welcome back, folks, to the Officer Jack McLam program. And the subject we're talking about today, folks, is a subject that affects every single one of us in America. You know, you or me or anyone else, your friends and relatives, loved ones, children, can be the next target of this tyrannical government leadership. We have these international crime syndicates that run our governments and also the state houses across the nation. All 50 governors are globalists, are involved in setting up this Antichrist world government system. And so, believe me, you and me can be next. And so it's very important that we expose to the American people as fast as we can that we need to be on guard against these tyrannical judges that are promoted up into these positions where they're willing to, as we say here quite often, shoot their mother for a nickel and take bets on which way she'd fall. And these prosecutors trying to do the same thing to get promoted up to judgeships one day if they can be bad enough and evil enough, they hope to get up to judgeships themselves. And because, folks, we can take our courts back if we can just have jurors that are aware of the evil that is done in the name of these international crime lords by these people in black dresses, these people we call judges, who have been sold out and they're government agents to the extreme of working for government and not the American people. And so that's why this is so critical, folks, because if we can inform Americans that this is going on, such as with our police and military publication we're putting out in the next couple weeks here, that will educate you if you ever have to serve on a jury and they bring in somebody like a David Hinston or Jack McLam or even your own family members and want to railroad them into prison, you can stop it. You can stop it, but only if you're informed. Remember what the Lord says in Isaiah 5:13, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Well, that's what this program's all about today, to give us the knowledge that these things are indeed going on, and we can be on guard and prepare ourselves to serve on juries to make sure that the King's Court and these monsters don't are not able to railroad good Americans into prison because they are politically incorrect in some way. Roland, one thing the people today, now we talked about this on Friday, don't understand is why did they want David so bad? Well, on Friday, you gave some good reasons why they wanted to put him in prison and destroy him. And I gave one that I thought is, and I do still think is very valid, that I watched David over the 15 years I've known this brother, when God gave him a blessing of being able to create wealth and wonderful products to help heal us, is that David would use his wealth to help fight corruption in the system. Many times I saw him fund candidates that we would put up, good Americans that love God and freedom, to run for office, and David would help fund their campaigns, and he would do many things using the wealth that God blessed him to be able to create through his wonderful products to help us fight evil in high places. Now, that's one reason, but, Roland, you probably have a few other reasons, too, that your son was a target, and they wanted to pull out all stops to put him in prison, an innocent man in prison that had never, I don't think, thought of violent thought in his life, because I never saw it in the years I've known this man. Go right ahead, Roland.
Well, to start with, David has never considered, even thought about doing anything outside the law, because he is indefatigable as far as legal issues are concerned. He catches on extremely fast.
Very well,
and he doesn't quit. He doesn't take anything because he's been told that. He investigates for himself. He started uncovering the fraud, and an attorney that he became very close to and friends with had kind of tutored him in the basic aspects of law. So David proceeded under law. And everything, and that is one of the things that really ticked him off, because they tried everything to shut him up. For example, the turtle fee that they charged on his property,
yeah.
Wanted $500 an acre. He asked, where is that money going?
Yeah, now turtle fees, you mean this environmentalist thing that the desert tortoise was being destroyed and they were charging people horrendous fees, isn't that right?
Yes, that's exactly right, and it was, I think they call it the Harry Reid Turtle Fund.
Yes.
And David accused him of fraud and deception, and he asked, where's this money going? And he could never get an answer, a definitive answer, of where that money went. But instead, he got six police cars out there, and with their lights going, one time, I think I mentioned that on the last show, but regardless, he used the law, and he felt comfortable with it, and he was helping other people who had been abused and attacked by the federal agents and those who participated, and so it continued on relentless, unrelenting.
Yeah.
And so David then decided he'd had enough of this kind of stuff. He decided to move out of Las Vegas, where he was, to Idaho. He thought this is a peaceful, quiet place, and he's just going to concentrate on making his minerals and so on. And now he wound up suing the IRS then, the employees who were trying to steal his company, and two of them, the worst two, were the ones that had been stealing from him that he caught, and he fired. And but even there, when he was given an opportunity, gave an opportunity to a man who he had he had taken in with, who was unemployable, hadn't had a job. David took him in and gave him all kinds of help. He wound up stealing a lot of fencing material from David, and David told him that if you return that, he says, I won't fire you. You still have a job. Instead, that man went to the IRS and said David was not paying properly his income tax, which David didn't believe that he owed any at the time. And so as a result, he would get $75,000 as a whistleblower. And so David, that was the first one. And then the Mariana Raff situation, to cover for her, and then the other people that that had something to gain. They were either stealing David's products or whatever. And I might just mention quickly here in a paragraph I had written in this article I talked about earlier. I wrote that my son is an inventor, a philanthropist, and a lecturer in the healthcare industry. In addition to his whistleblowing talk radio career, affords a necessary perspective. He has invented a process of reducing minerals into a water-soluble state so that they are readily absorbed by the human body. He has made these minerals into dietary supplements that have received widespread acceptance. And I lost my spot there. His business, Water Oz, based in Idaho, has sold products worldwide. There are some who believe that the mineral waters my son manufactured have healing properties, and my son's business has collected large amounts of anecdotal evidence confirming these claims. His business has been extremely successful, in part because the product is inexpensive relative to the benefits that some feel they receive. And the cost of goods sold is relatively low, which means that profits are very high. In the threats trial, Water Oz was referred to as a cash cow, which each of the witnesses against David had milked for many years and then tried to steal. Now, that was part of what it is, and we suspected that possibly the pharmaceutical industry, which would be highly affected by the success of Water Oz, may have had something to do with the high level that was used on David, sending agents from Washington, D.C. to prosecute. And in one case, one of the persons who was assigned from Washington, D.C., that before Steve Sullivan accepted the role, she said she would not prosecute this case, and she said that I am resigning from my position with the Justice Department as a result of that. And but they sent this other person who is the one who said, why should I give discovery about David's exculpatory information, the fact that we knew that this Swisher was nothing but a liar, and why should I do that? Well, the answer to that, why he should do it, is because that was the law. But now I come into something that I think is a little bit explains a little bit of what's going on and how they got, how this criminal judge, Richard Tallman, a man of no character and backbone, just a dishonest anti-American, who sits there with a black robe, and the things that I witnessed this guy do, I couldn't help but when I saw this article by the American Citizen I believe that was what it was called, said the stupefying of the American citizen. This was published in October of 2005. Is this what the average American citizen has become? As we see it, the problem we face lays in the either inadvertent or deliberate lies perpetrated by the federal judiciary system. As an example, let's suppose Congress passed a law that says white is the lightest color. Then a year or so later, federal judge A innocently rules slightly off-white is also acceptable as the lightest color. And then, because it suits his immediate sinister purpose, federal judge B says light gray also falls within the federal judge's A's written opinion. So federal judge C solves his bigger sinister problem with dark gray falls within federal judge B's opinion. This progresses to a point that federal judge X says, all previous judges have set the precedent, so it is well-established law that black is the lightest color, quote unquote. That's exactly what happened in the federal system in the income tax laws. The federal government, in an early case, had federal judge A rule that even if the income tax laws are slightly confused, off-white, they are still okay. Let me move this thing down here just a little bit. Then federal judge B, Judge Dorsey, told Irwin Schiff. Now, a lot of you may have known the Irwin Schiff situation. His jury, they said to him in the first trial, that they could find him guilty even if they thought the tax laws were not specific, that is, dark gray, and even if they thought the government did not prove their case against him. That case set the ball in motion to where federal judge X said, well, the judge and the jury in the Schiff case made it clear that there is law compelling, that is, black as the ace of spades, the filing and the payment of income tax. Which brings us to the case at hand, federal judge Z. Judge Kent J. Dawson of Henderson, Nevada, that handled the Irwin case, answered the Irwin question. He says, show me the law. And all the courts have ruled black, then blacker than black. There is a law, so I don't have to show you or the jury anything. Now let me tell you what... do we still have? Do you want to intercede at this point, Jack, or do you want me to tell you a little bit more about what happened in that case?
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking at the clock, and I definitely want to get out the contact information to get a hold of David and hope and pray that people will write to him, because he is in one of the most horrible prison situations where he's locked down 23 hours a day in a tiny little cell and only out an hour to shower or whatever he can do in an hour. And, brother, we need to get out that contact information and also how people can get a hold of you, Roland, because we do have people contacting us here wanting to know how to get a hold of you to give some money and to do make some kind of way to help out. And so if you can do that, then we could continue on.
Okay, let's do that right now then. Let me start with, if you have your pencil and paper handy.
Okay.
I'll repeat this twice. I'll go through the whole thing. So for those who are scrambling for a piece of paper and a pencil.
All right, and the website too. We do have a website, folks, that everybody needs to go to and read. Go right ahead.
Okay. It's David R. Hinkson, H-I-N-K-S-O-N. And his number at the penitentiary is #08795-023. And I'll say that again, #08795-023.
Tell them how important it is, Roland, they get this perfect.
If they don't get it perfect, they'll send your letter back. Or they can't read it or anything at all, they will destroy the letter. They won't return it, and David will never see it. So, and this is at Post Office Box 8500, Post Office Box 8500, Florence, Colorado, and that is 81226. And Florence is spelled just like the name, F-L-O-R-E-N-C-E, Colorado 81226.
Yes.
So let's go through the whole thing again then.
Okay, please
to confirm. David R. Hinkson, H-I-N-K-S-O-N, pound sign. That is, you know, like tiddlywinks, or not, what do you call it, tit-tat-toe.
Right.
For those that aren't familiar with the pound sign,
yeah.
Like you're doing tit-tat-toe. 08795-023, Post Office Box 8500, Florence, Colorado 81226. And now, if you're sending a letter, now I was thinking, you know, if there are people out there who are willing to help money, to send some money and to help, if you send a dollar, it would give us your address and how we could communicate and keep you informed. To send just $1 would be appreciated. As I mentioned on the other show, we have so far, I could count the total amount of people who have helped on one hand and probably on
terrible.
Three fingers.
Terrible. My goodness.
And that's been over a period of years. We've spent over $3 million so far and have everything mortgaged to the hilt to fight these tyrants.
These criminals, yes.
So anyway, okay, I think that covers that. And my address and where you would send any information or donation, we don't want necessarily to supply this information to the jail. They'd just dump the letter if they knew probably what it is. So if you sent a donation, send it to Post Office Box 5, Uray. O-U-R-A-Y, Colorado, 81427, to me, David's father, and for David's defense fund. It's, I'm Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D, Hinkson. Roland Hinkson.
How do you spell Hinkson?
H-I-N-K-S-O-N.
Okay, thanks.
Post Office Box 5, Uray, O-U-R-A-Y, Colorado, 81427. And that way we would know at least that somebody is hearing our voice.
That would be wonderful, yes. And, folks, let me tell you something. It is no question that the government wants to destroy this man and his great creations for all of our health, because the government crime families are heavily invested in the pharmaceutical companies, and they don't want anything to protect us from the bacterias, the viruses they created Fort Detrick, Maryland, and the military bio labs, like the bird flu and the, according to doctor, several doctors, matter of fact, and top scientists that we know, and their names just slipped my mind right now, but anyway, they don't want any protection. They don't want your immune system to be working perfectly. They don't want you to survive the days ahead in good health, because not only does it take billions and billions of dollars out of their pockets giving you these drugs that created by these pharmaceutical companies that have terrible side effects, but you'll be able to withstand some of these viruses they build for population control to destroy you, like the bird flu, for example. Roland, go right ahead.
Okay, you know, as far as for people that aren't aware, vitamins are totally useless unless they are combined with minerals. And the fact that David learned this and was supplying minerals, we sent some people to Africa, and we had phenomenal response. But we have to keep it very quiet, because we're afraid for the lives of the individuals who are participating in these African studies. And the result
yes,
has been amazing.
Yes.
Of the help that we cannot make any claims. We are 100% in compliance with all current FDA law. So we're still manufacturing. However, the IRS is fining David $4 million based on all this fraudulent testimony. And if you want additional information, we would be happy to about the Swisher and what's going on. And you want to call the factory, you can reach the people there at 1-800-547-2000. 2294. And that is at the Water Oz factory, and they'll be very cooperative in trying to send any kind of background data, information, documents, or anything that any news agencies or others want for verification for the things that we've said on this radio program. We are not making these things up. We have documentation and concrete proof for what we say. And those of you who are interested, if you wanted to call that number, 800-547-2294, we'll be happy to assist you in that. And as far as the Swisher deal was concerned, I mentioned on the last show that this man's testimony that he was a fraud. We have proven that. He has been thrown out of the Marine Corps League. We need to get him out of every one of these service organizations because he is a absolute villain. He was willing to, for financial gain and benefit, to sell a innocent man down the river and put him in the most horrendous hellhole that we have provided in this country. And he would do this only for personal gain. And the guy is a forger. He is a blackmailer. He is a who knows what other crimes he's committed during his career. But to take the honor, steal the valor from those men who have fought to defend this nation, and to parade himself around with license plates and with decorations on his chest, and sit in a position of as a commandant over other people when he is a total fraud. We have exposed him. He's been thrown out of the Marine Corps League, and we're very proud of that organization for taking a stand.
Absolutely.
And we need to do the same with every other service organization.
Absolutely, and he needs to be prosecuted for building these fraudulent federal documents like these DD-214s. He needs to be prosecuted and put in prison.
Well, and he's stolen the taxpayers' money.
That's right. $2,500 a month he shouldn't even be getting.
That's right.
Okay, brother. Well, I hear the music. And, Roland, I want you to keep us updated, brother, okay? And we're going to be working to try to help get David out, and I know the listeners are too. Don't forget, folks, to pray for David to keep him safe and to do all you can to help us get him out. Lord bless all of you out there. Thank you for being on with us, Roland. And all the listeners, God bless you, and hope to be back with you tomorrow, God willing. Don't forget, this old cop truly does love you, America. I truly do.
In white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. Gazing at some hand in hand, just what I'm going through, they can't understand. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, and I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you.
Lights fade from every room. Bedsitter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent. Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and settles her son. Senior citizens wish they were young. Cold-hearted orb that rules the night removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white, but we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
Coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, but the string's already broken, and he doesn't and it don't last for long. But the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain High. Rocky Mountain High,
high Colorado.
He climbed cathedral mountains, he saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once, and he tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend but kept a memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His side is turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. And the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High. Now his life is full of wonder, but his heart still knows some fear of a simple thing he cannot comprehend. While they try to tear the mountains down to bring in a couple more, more people, more scars upon the land. In the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. No, he'd be poor a man if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High.
And the moon
Daddy. just might have a problem that you'll understand.
We all need somebody to lean on.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call
has changed.
it's yesterday once more. But he won't find me behind it, 'cause the feeling is gone and it just won't come back anymore. I've worked so hard to find it. I've been up, down, trying to get the feeling again, all around, trying to get the feeling again. The one that made me shiver, make my knees start to quiver every time he walks in. I've looked high, low, everywhere I possibly can, but there's just no trying to get the feeling. Seem to disappear as fast as it came. I've read every book, looks, every meditation and poem, just to bring home that old sweet sensation. But it ain't no use to me to try to get the feeling. When did it leave me? How did I come to miss you? Such a beautiful burning. But baby, believe me, I've done everything I can do, but somehow it's not returning. I've been up, down, trying to get the feeling again, like a bloodhound searching for a long lost friend. Could you help me rediscover the way to be his lover once again? I've read every book, looked for every man and poem, just to bring home that old sweet sensation. But it ain't no use to me to try to get the feeling. I wanna get that feeling again. But it ain't no use to me to try to get the feeling. I wanna get that feeling again.
After day, I must face a world of strangers where I don't belong, and that fits strong. It's nice to know that there's someone I can turn to who will always care. You're always there.
Go by and feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
And you, of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they
Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad statue, the dirty Lord down. Got you thinking like that, boy.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. You can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down the words how wonderful life is while you're in. Sat on the roof and kicked off the moss. Well, a few of the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do, You see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. And you can tell everybody this is the song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind what I put down in the words. How wonderful life is while you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind what I put down in the words. How wonderful life is while you're in the
could tell, just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail, and you won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take. Like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way script, enter number two. A movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, the story's always in. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feelings that you have. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong,
but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. coming with me. We're loving police. And it's all because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. We need your most friends.